Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Lenzing on the results of Q1 2012. Should you have technical difficulties with the new link presentation, the Investor Relations presentation Q1 can be found on the right-hand side of the Lenzing website, www.lenzing.com. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Mr. Untersberger, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to today's first quarter 2012 investor conference call. I'm very happy that I'm joined here by my colleague, Thomas Winkler. For the ladies who expect Fritz Weininger, unfortunately, he's not here today, but he already promised to be here next time. We will lead you through to the financials of the presentation. I assume that everybody, in the meantime, has the presentation in hard copy or on the screen. I start with page three, the key highlights for the first quarter. We had sales of 528, which is spot on Q1 guidance we gave about 2 months ago, with also good results on not only on the sales but also on EBITDA of 93, which is also just in the mid of the guidance we gave was 90-95, and an EBIT of 67 million. You see that the sales results, turnover, and EBITDA are good. Of course, they are not that excellent as we had it 1 year ago, but I think that is no surprise to you because you got the guidance that this is going to be the results for the first quarter. CapEx is 53 million, but I think also no need to be nervous because the big projects are all running and are in time and on budget. Of course, smaller projects with 3 million, 5 million, 10 million, 50 million are just in the setup mode during the first quarter and now getting on stream. It takes a little bit time always. The financials are extremely good due to the lower investment. We have a further reduction on the net debt by 33 million from 159 to 126. That's our balance sheet getting more and more solid. If you read the figures in detail, ladies and gentlemen, Lenzing has no volume problem. Where we have a little bit an issue is on prices, on viscose prices, and you know that due to the cotton price going up and now the consolidation 50% down. You know, we had to adjust a little bit prices on the viscose side, particularly in the first quarter, not only on the textile but also on the nonwovens, and that took a little bit away the EBIT. That means we are running all plants on full capacity utilization. We have still low stock, and contrary to our Chinese colleagues in China who are still working on a 60%-75% utilization, we are fully occupied and on full utilization in China. I'm coming to page four. Well, this is the market environment, mostly driven by macro, and it should also be no surprise to you that China is since actually already half a year rather soft but on a high level. You see that industrial production has come down from 15% still to a very dynamic 12%. But even the 3% as an absolute difference even in China. A part of that is driven in the textile industry by lower export orders to Europe, for instance, which we told you already also 2 months ago that this is going to happen. when on the textile exhibitions in September and October, the Chinese themselves told us already that they are we also see that even if we expect it already for the first quarter and particularly for the second quarter, we are not going to see some monetary easing, which means that there is still a credit crunch in China. Actually, there should be a strong inflow of M3 money, and this is not going to happen. That means, as the Chinese are anyway very much short-term financed, this is making even stronger and bigger problems. But on the other side, what is not done in the first half has to be done at least by the end of the year, when the new government is in place, and the guys surely then have a lot of leeway to lower interest rates, to increase money flow, and so on. But even in China, and I think this is very important for you, we see a good volume growth. Of course, on a lower price basis, which is driven not by problems in the viscose market, it's more driven by problems in the cotton market. And I come later on to explain the details. On the other side, you know that our biggest four markets are China, Indonesia, India, and Turkey. Particularly Indonesia is doing extremely well. Macro as well as micro, 6.5% GDP. The sovereign debt is on the upgrading. Exports are improving, but local consumption is very strong. The Indonesians are investing into the textile industry. And Turkey, after very strong 2011, they are again very strong in 2011. You know, Turkey is a very, very important market. It's as big size-wise as Europe, and we are selling very, very good modal and viscose and tensile volume into the Turkey market. And so we expect that this, particularly these two very, very important markets, are going to be very, very strong during the year. I'm coming to page 5. I mentioned already the cotton market, and you see it takes a little bit longer than we expected, but we are regaining and reestablishing our premium to cotton, even if we are just at 5% from the historical level of 15 to 20. But let me make some comments on that. The ICAC, International Cotton Advisory Council, on 1st of May, that means 1 week ago, itself it mentioned that the world cotton area is going to be reduced by 7%, which on a ceteris paribus means that there's also 7% lower production. The Chinese reconfirmed again that there is almost 13% lower cotton production because there is lower cotton fields available, which is substantial because that's almost 1 million ton in China. And with 4% expected cotton production or cotton sales increase in this year means is almost 1 million ton of additional cotton fiber. And assuming that ICAC would be correct, that means at the end of the year we are going to see 1 million, maybe even 1.5 million less stock. So even if ICAC said that currently strategic stock level is at 59%, up from 50, it would mean that at the end of the day, it's coming down. And we see that in a very relaxed mood, I have to say, because as always, the first half is a much, much stronger volatility in the cotton market than in the second half. Only in July, August, September, ICAC will have a much clearer view on planted cotton fields. And then I think we will see a reduced volatility, and by the way, volatility is not that strong right now, just plus minus 10% about a new sea level of 100 cents a pound. So we are quite confident that over the next three quarters into 2013, we are able to regain the premium up to between 10 to 15, 16%. I'm now handing over to Thomas. He will explain you in detail the market prices and the financials. Thomas, please.
Thank you, Peter. Good afternoon also from my side. Let me now give you the details on our fiber prices, which are the major drivers of our profitability, as you well know. Looking at slide six, the average fiber price in Q1 has been slightly above guidance with 2.03 euro. We've guided for 2 euros, so slightly above. More importantly, we can report record sales of 191,000 tons, more fiber than we have ever sold in one quarter before, a new record. While the volume of fibers was rising by slightly more than 3,000 tons compared with Q4, the average price is now bottoming out 5.6% below Q4 of last year. Turning to slide seven. As anticipated, textile viscose prices are bottoming out at 1.76 euro, only a minor decrease of 3.3% versus the fourth quarter. TENCEL is proving its price stability, and we are earning the fruits of our years of marketing, which led to a broad range of applications protecting us from price concessions. This has, unfortunately, I must say, not been the case with Modal, where we had to reduce the average price by 8.8%, and I hope you remember that we've announced this already at the occasion of the full year numbers. As already said in this full year call, this has also been the result of record sales volumes in Q3 and Q4. They filled the textile value chain and made Modal more of a buyer's market in Q1 of this year than it has been in the years before. No doubt our adjusted sales volume in Q1 is for price control reasons, and we want to reestablish a certain scarcity value, if you want, of Modal, which it always had in the past. We are confident that the market will be able to absorb the increased production volumes from the capacity increase over the course of this year. The nonwoven viscose price, which you find on slide eight, followed the textile price with a delay of one quarter, again, as we have told you several times in the past. This brings back the point that nonwovens helps us in smoothening our portfolio and the prices in our portfolio, but of course, we cannot fully escape the price trends. However, what can be observed is the fact that nonwoven viscose volumes at the textile price level have been very strong, very strong, in the light of a healthy demand by our customers. 48,000 tons compared with an average of 42,000 tons in the previous four quarters speaks for itself. TENCEL, also being the case going forward, keeps its price solidly at historically high levels. Turning now to slide nine, we can see three major trends in the relative pricing of our fiber generations. The first trend, Modal margins over viscose are adapting to the normalized 40%-50% range. Second observation, while TENCEL textile prices are well above the historical price premium of 20%-30%, 68% to be precise, we do not see a downward pressure here. The major reason is the wide range of applications and the demand for high-tenacity cellulose fibers in the textile industry that is increasing quarter-over-quarter. Thirdly, the TENCEL nonwoven premium of 37% is also not in danger, as the value add TENCEL brings to applications like wipes, like lower weight, lower packaging and transport costs, higher tenacity, more than offset the price premium for our customers. Let us also have a quick look at the financials shown on slide number 10. They are spot on our guidance for the first quarter, as Peter has already pointed out. He's also mentioned the sales of 528 million and an EBITDA of 93 million euro, resulting in a margin of around about 18%. Let me point out the over proportionate reduction on the cost side, which went down by nearly 8% compared to Q4, with sales going down by only 4%. The record sales volume, with an increase of nearly 2% over the same period, have already been mentioned. Just as a reminder, the reason for an almost stable net income in Q4 and Q1 lies in the one-time write-downs included in the Q4 depreciation. We've also expanded on this one in the last call. Net financial debt, as shown on slide 11, has further decreased by 33 million euro to 126 million euro. This represents a net gearing of only 11.4%. Please note that the dividend payment of 66 million euro has only become due end of April 2012, and therefore is not included in these numbers. In other words, you would have to add the 66 million to the 126 million to arrive at the rough net debt figure end of April. A cash position of nearly half a billion EUR and bilateral credit lines of 250 million euro provide Lenzing with a comfortable liquidity cushion of nearly 750 million. Well, let me now hand back to Peter, who will give you the outlook before we open the conference call for questions.
I have the pleasure to not only to confirm the full year outlook, but also to give you an outlook and a guidance for the second quarter. We expect no significant change. On EBITDA and on volume, we expect a change to the first quarter, which means that when we say that EBITDA, we expected about around 100 million euro, it will be a plus of 7% against the 93. On the sales, you also see that we see an increase of 3%, which is driven primarily by a bigger availability of viscose fibers as well as tensile fibers, because you know that we are just starting our additional mothball plant in U.S. with 20,000 tons capacity and more and more viscose capacity and viscose production is coming on stream in China. If you compare that to the 810,000 tons, which we expect of sales volume, I think we have no problem to deliver that. On the other side, we reconfirm our sales for the year, for the financial year, 2.2 billion-2.3 billion. The EBITDA, and as you know, what the pattern Thomas explained to you 2 months ago, the 400-480. What is 400 and when it will be 480? There is nothing to add. It's still the same scenarios that we would expect a kind of mirror image, but on different quarters for the 2012. We are confident that maybe after another no change second quarter, we will see a stronger second half on different and better macro. A somewhat stronger Chinese second half, a somewhat stronger private consumption in China, and still further improving consumption and GDP in the U.S., which is very, very important for the nonwovens market. Even in the U.S., I think you should know that we are fully booked. We even cannot deliver more orders even though we have it. As I mentioned at the very beginning, we expect less volatility and therefore a stabilization on the cotton market. It would be a big surprise if we would see another record cotton harvest, because normally two record harvests are not a normal pattern. If ICAC is already now saying that there is a lower planted area, this is going to happen in the second half. On the 350, as I also mentioned, don't calculate 50 times 4. The second half will see very strong investment and project activity, and therefore commitments and payouts during quarter 3 and during quarter 4. Okay. That's from our side. Please take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. So once again, if you wish to ask a question, dial 01, and if you need to cancel that question, you can dial 02. One moment, please, for the first question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my question. I have a question regarding the relative pricing and the trend we have seen in Tencel that stands now at a very attractive premium of 68%. With regard to that, we know that the sweet spot for Modal is somewhere in the range of 40 to 50%. Now with Tencel and your monopoly position in the market, premiums are realistic in your view, and when do you believe will first peers or competitors be able to produce Tencel at an industrial scale?
Well, as you mentioned, this depends not just only on the Tencel price and on the Tencel market, it also depends very strongly on the viscose market. And just in absolute terms, of course, 70% or 68% to be correct, is a fantastic premium, but I think we have also to see the trees in the forest that it's touching with almost $4, a very sensitive level, and with $3 a very sensitive level at the time when viscose prices on a low level. So even we have been surprised, and because we did not expect another 3 cents increase on the Tencel price. With respect to the second question, of course we see activity in China, but I'm not sure whether you participated at the last conference call 2 months ago, when we explained that it is a big technological as well as operational issue to make the scale up from a laboratory scale to a pilot scale, and then particularly from a pilot scale to an industrial scale. Why I am saying that? Because we have seen that on almost 3 sites, and we know how complex such a scaling up is.
Maybe just for the avoidance of misunderstandings, let me add to this. What we believe is that we can keep the Tencel price at around €2.90 for textile and around €2.30 for nonwovens also in the upcoming quarters.
Okay, thank you. Just a little follow-up, and because the lawsuit you have against one engineering AG that employed 3 or 4 of your engineers that provided or received a contract from a Chinese competitor for lyocell technology, do you know or can you kind of exclude that information was leaked there and that maybe they are already further than you believe?
No, we cannot exclude that information has leaked, and for sure information has leaked, because we are watching that very carefully. But on the other side, we know that these guys have left our group 10 years ago with documents which are 10 years old, and in the meantime Lansing has invested a hell of money on improving and further developing technology. So, but that's the way of life we have to live with. If you have a diamond, everybody is looking after this diamond.
I understand. So if you would to put your technological advantage on a time scale, how far are you ahead of competition?
I hope that no Chinese colleague is on the telephone conference. but I would say, considering all the teething problems we had, and considering also the problems we had thereafter, as, and I don't want to repeat now that how complex the process is, because the process is a very thermal sensitive process. I hope you mean what I, you understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to make his experience.
But to cut a long story short, it took us now 15 years to develop Tensil to a 60,000 ton production line. Okay, and even if you say that the learning curve might be steeper for a follower, you're looking at something like 15 years minus a steeper learning curve.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I've got three questions, if I can, please. Firstly, on Modal, during Q1, the reason for a lot of the pricing pressure seemed, from what I understood, to have been Birla's entry or more aggressive entry into this market. And yet your comments today sort of suggest that, in fact, the pricing premium over viscose has simply returned to its more normal range, and that a lot of the problem in Modal was simply that you'd filled the supply chain in Q3 and Q4. Do you feel just a little bit more comfortable with the competitive environment in Modal, and do you feel that Birla is not being as disruptive to pricing as you'd feared? Secondly, on Chinese spot viscose prices. I mean, Peter, you mentioned in your commentary that you felt that Chinese prices were poor because of the cotton environment, but of course that doesn't really explain why the viscose premium over cotton is so low at the moment. Can you talk about the dynamics there? Is it because essentially there's not a lot of activity taking place because of the lack of availability of credit, which means that the normal commercial decisions a Chinese spinner would make about viscose versus cotton aren't so relevant at the moment? And then thirdly, Thomas, you commented about the very strong non-woven viscose volumes in the first quarter. Could you talk about the dynamics between the slight decline in textile viscose volumes and the reasonable increase in non-woven viscose volumes? Is that a deliberate intention on your part? Is that just reflecting the sort of more substantial recent price decline in non-wovens, or what are the dynamics going on there, please?
So let me take question three and one that is directed to me. Look, 94,000 tons, 92,000 tons, it depends really when we deliver our fibers to certain customers. And if it's a Friday, it's 94, and if it's a Monday, it's 92,000. So basically you could say we were able to sell our viscose without the problem, okay, and at the volumes that we are producing and pushing out of the door. So there's no difference. The difference on non-wovens is because at the now lower price levels, remember they were at 193 before, there was a very strong demand, obviously with people thinking that if they lock themselves in for up to half a year with this price, they are better off than not doing so. And we think that this has been driving the volumes favorably for us. On the Modal question, it's a combination, really, Peter. Of course, we feel Birla, and of course, we don't let Birla do their thing in Turkey without not showing resistance to it. And yes, we have also some leeway to play around with our prices. But that I would restrict to Turkey, whereas in China, which is 50% of our Modal business, we clearly see what I've tried to explain, which is we filled the chain in Q4 and in Q3, and as people now try to figure out the best way of going forward, the demand softened for Modal, and this is how we've reacted with reducing the volume and bringing down the prices to a level that is to be called a more normalized range.
And on that, do you think that higher than normal inventory level has now cleared, or do you think you're going to see some continued volume effect in the second quarter in Modal?
I think we will see some continued volume effect in the second quarter, to be honest, because you need to see that the increased volumes are 20% over the normalized volumes in Q3 and in Q4, and that's quite substantial. Okay, so I kind of caution you on volumes and prices for Modal also in the second quarter. Okay, and then eventually I think the inventory is cleared and the market gets adapted to more volume, because you need to understand that in the last years we had to tell the people we don't have enough Modal. And this is why we haven't looked for new applications, new buyers on the market. And that's what we're very proactively doing at the moment. So over the course of this year, we have no hesitation in believing that the additional volumes get absorbed. But for Q2, I think it's still taking time for the inventory to go away.
Can I just ask, are you producing at maximum capacity and building up your own inventories of Modal? So when you say that you think that you'll sell capacity, you know, towards the end of the year, are you actually expecting to see some inventory coming from you coming back onto the market?
Very good question. And the answer is we can, okay, switch back to viscose for the Modal line that we've changed. It's a swing capacity, but basically we try to keep our inventory also low, and that's not a big issue.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question.
Hang on, there was a second question on the spot market prices of viscose in China.
Yeah, but maybe just a complimentary comment on that. Thomas mentioned on the Modal. I think, of course, it was a very smart move by the Indians, what they did in Turkey. But I think you should know that the last couple of years, almost 10 years, we had one customer because it was a clear decision, our decision, exclusivity market. And the peelers tried to serve the others. In the meantime, we kicked them out on each of them. Yeah? So that I think it just should show you how aggressive also we can be. And these are all existing customers who take also Tencel and viscose. And now we will ship a lot of Modal in the second quarter and the third quarter into Turkey. So coming back on the China, yeah, you are right, of course. I cannot say all these issues because they would also be applicable on cotton as well as polyester. But yeah, I have to admit, in times like that where there is a downward price on cotton or trend as well as a downward price trend in China on viscose, it's damn difficult to reestablish a 15% premium. Of course, this is much, much easier if prices are on the upside. No doubt. You are correct. But still, I'm confident that this we will be able to do in the course of the next three quarters into 2013. We will be above the 10%. I'm absolutely confident on that.
Very much.
Three questions, if I may. First one, on the viscose pricing, you can take it on average. Just can you or textile, how you want? Can you tell us what the average achieved prices per month were starting from December? I mean, have you seen an uptick in the prices? That's the first one.
Yeah. Yes, we have. And we've seen it at a point where we haven't expected it, because the low was pretty much at the beginning of the year, carried over from December. And then we thought we've got to wait until Chinese New Year, until the beginning of February. And we saw viscose pricing coming up then all the way already in January.
What is the low?
Yeah, and then after Chinese New Year. So that I wouldn't say that it was an unbroken price, and because you can download the VSF spot market prices, they went then down again, and currently they are standing at 16,200 to 16,300 RMB. But definitely the weakest was the start of the year.
And can you attach some numbers to that? I mean, are you at 180 or 190 already, or what's the...
Well, what I would... no. The answer is no. What I would much rather tell you is that we are finding now a bottoming out, okay? And I don't want to be more precise on each and every fiber now for the second quarter, but it clearly points the direction that it is somewhere above 170,
okay,
for both.
And sorry to pick on Modal all the time, but can we just go back to the decision to really sell into the market very strongly in Q3, Q4? Have you somewhat overestimated the demand strength that really there's a bit of a buyer strike currently and people have waited for prices to come down, or have they known already that you will lower prices?
No. Look, I think if you're getting told for years, okay, we need more material, and we have to tell them we are sold out, you know, and try to find the sweet spot by rising prices, but not over dramatically rising prices because of the long-term view that we take with our customers. Of course, you believe that you could sell twice the amount without the problem. But, you know, as market mechanisms are as they are, once you increase, and we can only increase in step changes, once you increase your capacity by 50%, which we basically did, you do kind of take away the marketing gimmick, if you want, of scarcity value. Because all of a sudden, and it was not all of a sudden, because they were nicely buying in the third quarter and they were buying in the fourth quarter, people figured out, oh, there is more material around on a continuous basis. And that, together with a somewhat softer demand in China, made us where we are. I would just warn everybody to kind of blow it out of proportion. Modal is important. We believe we continue the Modal success story, okay? But like, it is not one straight upward trend. And for kind of, you know, completeness sake, we've always said that the price premiums are extraordinarily high. And just to preempt the next question, because that is also true for Tencel, we must say in Tencel we have a different situation with the broad applications and the strong marketing that we put behind it, which makes us very confident that we can sustain the Tencel prices at the current level also going forward.
And can I just add to that, was it really, or would it have been better to hold back volumes in the second half to better accommodate the volume ramp up you did? And related to that, is there a leeway to restore either premiums or old prices in Modal? Because it appears a bit normal to me that when you have an expectations of viscose going up, that Modal would follow suit to some degree.
Yes. And hindsight is 20/20. But you know, we built new capacity and then we fully utilize it. That's the way we do it. You know, we just don't ramp up Modal slowly and underutilize what we've built. That's not our philosophy.
Okay.
And this is why we say it comes in step changes. And yes, as I said, you could think of the one or the other strategy, but let's look ahead, and I think once additional volume is absorbed, we will see a comforting trend in the second half.
And can I just ask how this is going to look like? I mean, is Modal going to be stable, and is the premium going to smooth because viscose prices go up, or is there also potential for Modal pricing to slightly increase?
Look, we will be very careful on Modal pricing, and of course we kind of say that there's a good likelihood of a scenario in which the pricing environment overall in the second half is improving on the basis of what Peter told you. And once viscose is improving, we will also deal with the Modal pricing.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, last question. We've seen your very favorable leverage. Obviously, you have to pay the dividend, but I mean, how ripe are your plans regarding a proprietary capacity in Turkey?
Turkey is, for us, the most important textile market in Europe, okay? But let's also not overestimate the capacity that this market is taking. And if you build a factory, you don't build a factory for 80,000 tons. You build it for more. We can serve the Turkish market. I think our Turkish customers are extremely happy with how we serve them. So it's no near-term consideration of us involved there. Okay?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. I have three questions. The first one is the cotton prices. You said you expect viscose prices to go up on the second half of the year, backed by stronger dynamics in cotton prices. But the USDA update that was out half an hour ago is saying they're expecting a stock to use for cotton to be up for the next season to 67%, which would be an all-time high. And also the forecast from the ICAC, although they say cotton acreage will decrease, but end stocks at the end of the next season is also expected to be higher than this year. So what is the cotton prices that you work with for this year as the basis for your forecast? The second question is on just a clarification on the CapEx. When do you think the rest of the remaining 250 million will come this year? And does it change the phasing of the CapEx, some capacity into next year? And the second one is just on the tax rate, which seemed a little bit high this quarter at almost 28%. Is there any special reason, and what should we expect for the following quarters? Thank you very much.
If we talk together next week, the ICAC had another forecast. So these guys, every month or every week they have a different forecast. I think we have, as I said, we have to relax a little bit and not to work against the changing winds. Our view is a very clear view. We see cotton prices at the new sea level, which is around in kilos $220 a kilo, which is 100 cents a pound right now. With the lower and lower volatility to be expected in the second half, I would make a bet with you that the volatility is decreasing, and at the end of the day, we see much, much less farmland going into cotton, and therefore a lower production and a lower harvest. With all the pleasure, we can go to Texas and look the marginal cotton farmers, and there is maybe 9 out of 10 of them are not going into marginal cotton production, when at the same time they have a much, much higher yield on maize or corn or whatever, and making much, much more money. Just compare it to 1 year ago when the cotton price was on the uptrend and everybody was running through the door to get enough fertilizer to make cotton. And this time it is different. Second question. As I mentioned, this is the 50 million. Sorry, this is not a surprise for us. As I mentioned, the big projects are all on budget and on time. There is maybe one issue in India, because it depends when we can start with the construction. Are we able to do that before the monsoon in June or after? So in case we have to do it after, to start with the building construction, I mean, then it would be a refacing for the Indian project of 3 months. Okay. But in Indonesia is on time and fully phased in. The additional 20,000 tons in China are on time. The 20,000 tons Tantal in US are on time. And I'm very, very lucky, but I think Fritz mentioned already last time that he's very, very confident to get the approval for the Lansing Tantal plant as we said, we don't have it, but there are indications there will be no appeal when we get the first approval. So that means when the first approval is also the final approval, we are able to get the caterpillars in by mid of June. So this is even a little bit faster than we thought. And, well, you know, the tensile plant in Lansing is 130 million. I don't expect major refacings and major changes of cash outs.
Okay. And to your last question, which is the tax rate, this is an allocation issue because I have to kind of assess the tax rate for every quarter. I had no reason to take kind of, you know, extraordinary positions against it. And so it's 28% this quarter. Remember what I said at the full year call, be prepared for a higher tax rate and a buoyancy in the tax rate, which has something to do with the profitability of our plants in the U.S. And to a minor extent also in the U.K., which have tax rates that are above the 25% level. And the third quarter is the quarter where we will get the tax benefit from the tax group from BNC, and that's then going to bring it all in line again. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. I have a more general question on the fiber market in China and the potential impact on you. I've just read actually that China export in textile was just up by 1.4% in the first quarter. Is it in your view an overall very slow global demand, or is it really a shift, let's say, away from China to more cheaper countries like Indonesia or so? And if that is the case, how you are positioned, so to say, to follow the production shift into other countries, and how might that affect your business?
Many thanks for the exact figure, 1.4%. I didn't know so far, but it is just reflecting that what I mentioned at the beginning. We had a very long holiday period for the Chinese New Year, almost one month, which is definitely affecting not only GDP and industrial production, but also exports. And what I said at the beginning, when in September, October, at the exhibitions in Shanghai, in Shenzhen, and in Beijing, the Chinese told us, our questions actually asked, said, why European orders are down 15, 20, 25%? So that's just feeding into the system right now. So this is not a surprise. I'm sure that already in the second quarter, this 1.4% much higher. Surprisingly, the Chinese have quite extended to holiday periods, just also for the 1st May. They had three days, but that's we have to assume that's every year. But definitely, we see lower orders from Europe. And I would say that this the bigger orders from the U.S. are not going to compensate that in the first, in the second, or maybe even not in the third quarter. On the other side, you see that particularly in Europe, with the new situation in France, and maybe also other changes in the course of the year on the political side, this cost cutting and austerity projects are not going to come through the way they were planned. Definitely, there are growth initiatives which surely have an impact on consumption. And as I say, we are in China, we have people, a lot of people in China, they say this is no Chinese internal issue. Consumption in China is strong, and we see that. And our customers, whether it's Modal or Tencel or Viscose, are telling us the same thing.
Just an add-on question. In your introduction remarks, you talked about that in the second quarter the capital restriction will be still in place in China. And on the other side, you're saying business will pick up already in the second quarter. Some people suggest to me business might just pick up after the election are finished and after people know who is in power, who is in charge, and what will be, let's say, the follow-on decisions on that. So that would mean fourth quarter would see a pickup instead of, let's say, second and third quarter. How are your thoughts on that?
Well, if I say that there is a step change in fiscal and money policy, then I'm talking on significant reductions in interest rates from 7% to maybe over 3-4 quarters to 5%, which is not going to happen. If for the time being the Chinese are making cosmetic changes on their 21% rate to 20.5 or 20. So yeah, okay, but this has a psychological effect, and that may happen also in the second and the third quarter. But we expect now, and that is also after discussions we had with other Chinese, from government people, but also to private people, that the big, big changes are going to happen in the fourth quarter and in 2013.
That might mean we have another, let's say, 2 quarters with relatively low growth than ahead of us.
Come on, it's not a low growth. It's still 7.5 to 8%. Okay, it's down from 9, and I admit, on industrial production, it is 12% down from 14 or 15. Yeah, this is 3% or 2% less, and it has its impact. But China is still very dynamic. We just have been 2 weeks ago in China, and even in a city where we come in almost every two months, we realized that there are substantial new construction sites, big sites. Oh, so that means even in the construction area, China is starting to make their inroads again.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad.
Gentlemen, a follow-up. How do you see this built up in inventories in China and India? There was an article recently that even like 1.5 million tons were found in addition. Yeah, so maybe it's bad data quality or anything. But is that strategic because the Chinese were burnt last year with the high prices? And if so, is there a risk that they would give some of that to the market when the cotton price rises, which would limit the upside for other fibers? Or how do you see this very large inventories?
Let me for a change answer, because Peter's really struggling with his voice. Look, we've given you the ICAC figure from 1st of May, okay, where the strategic inventory is 59% compared to a 50% inventory level, or to be precise, 48% historical average inventory level, which is normal for a one-year plant. The Chinese have bought most of it on the world market, and they bought it for a price between 100 and 110 cents. For us, it's difficult to see how they would throw it on the market for 85 cents. Okay, yeah. And coming back to your questions, I think this is what Peter said. I mean, we are always surprised how erratic the estimates by both USDA and ICAC are from month to month, which means this is not the high visibility market. This is not the perfect market, and this is a market that is also strongly skewed by expectations. And I also understand Fabio's question, because when you look at the futures, you would say, where do you see an increase? But then, you know, you get all of a sudden futures rising by 10, 15 cents within only a couple of days, which has something to do with the poor liquidity situation and the most liquid future is now the July future, which means there is no visibility and no certainty beyond the end of this harvesting season. And there's a great deal of you know, where could it go going forward. And again, the reduced arable land and production volumes are a fact, because they've been announced. And a reduced production and an increased consumption, at least in the old days, usually only meant one thing for prices.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks.
Thomas and myself, we have seen cotton stocks. The higher the cotton stocks and the longer they are, the worse they get.
Thank you. There are no further questions. I now hand back to Mr. Untersperger.
Yeah, if there are no further questions, thanks a lot for all participating and joining in the telephone conference. You have seen that we delivered what we promised for the first quarter, and please be assured that we will deliver for the second quarter. Many thanks. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.